Get going. Okay, so Brita. It's a Brita. So Brita. As I mentioned before in the intro, what he discusses in this are the things that happen to you on both sides. When you go through your transformation, all of these elements are the elements of spiritual transformation. He talks about both. And he talks about both because we have to marry both the masculine and the feminine within us. And you will get guidance, you will get experiences. And so I know we asked you about what your experience was in the book, but at this point, you also want to be saying, that happened to me, this happened to me, that's definitely what happened to me, this is how I found out that. You want to start recognizing that you've had these experiences, and you have to stop reading books like they're happening to somebody else. Really important to get that. You have had all of those experiences at some level and either denied them or brushed over them, but when the way he describes these elements, he's describing the way the soul speaks to you in both ways, both from the feminine and from the masculine, from the sun and the moon. So it's important. So I'd love to get just what were the elements? Go. Well. Master of the understatement. Okay. All right. So there is the sun and the moon. Okay. Let's just start. Well, why don't we start with, we'll start with the sun. Okay. We'll start with the elements of the sun. Does anybody remember anything of the elements of the sun? Or was it all about the moon for all of you? Can you? Yeah, go ahead.
It's the simplest of the path, but it's the hardest one.
Simplest. So it's okay.
So simple is hard.
Does somebody want to write while I talk? Somebody can write relatively quickly. Okay. So it's the simplest to learn, and why?
Because I don't know. I just know that it's like through experience. It's like experiential learning.
Right.
What you see is
reality. Right.
Through the experience, you get the lesson, but it's so easy to get the lesson, but then we make it so hard in our heads.
It's so simple.
You can't
right. The path of the tradition of the sun is recognizing that your energy field teaches you everything 24 hours a day as the universe touches it. The entire universe is there at your calling 24 hours a day if you're in your field. But we make it so complicated because we block that. One of my guides that I got from my shaman journeying and my going into places that probably shouldn't have gone. One of the things that he taught me when I was learning about the energy field, he taught me, and I don't know if I've told you this before, he showed me that the energy field is actually a mirror. The inside of everybody's field is just a mirror. All you ever see when you look at it is yourself. The universe holds you, presses on you. I'm part of the universe. I send a vibration toward you. It hits your energy field from my 12 levels of consciousness to your 12 levels of consciousness, and you are experiencing the universe, which you are part of. But because we don't have the discipline to have any knowledge beyond our little world. Our mirror is thick and pure. All we are going to see is what we look at it and we say, well, that's that. But if you look at it from, you know, from like, if you could get around and take a look at it, it's like a mirror here and you're standing there pointing at a mirror and saying, no, that's Ellen over there. That's Ellen. Rather than realizing that as I experience Ellen, I can only experience her as I can experience the world. So I could understand the universe by totally allowing myself to be connected to that. So what he also said was that when you do deep levels of spiritual work, the edge of the field becomes opaque. So you simultaneously see yourself and what's actually out there. And that's when you start seeing, perceiving these other levels of consciousness, the other level of beings. Yeah?
Is it seeing yourself, or is it maybe beginning to see how other people perceive it?
Well, until you see yourself, until you're able to perceive that the universe is, the only thing it's ever told you is who you are,
yeah.
It's never said one other thing. Every relationship you've had, every person you've ever met, everything that's ever happened to you, the law of attraction works. You've never met anything that isn't calling you to be you. And so that's the first place you start. Once you are fearlessly able to realize that you are this constantly changing, moving thing like the universe, then you're able to work beyond that and actually perceive beyond your shell. But most of us have incredibly thick shells that even though some of them would say, oh, you hurt my feelings, it's nobody hurt your feelings. That's all going on inside of here. Okay, so that's really very important. And so knowing that, it's so simple. All you got to do is look around. You'll see the entire universe talking to you in every moment. You walk outside and the trees are speaking God's word. The sun is everything is the universe telling you exactly how it works. Awesome. Great one. Okay, what else? Dark night. Yeah, how does that work? What's the dark night about? Who's the saint? Or the John, St. John of the Cross, right? And do you all know St. John of the Cross's story?
No.
He was I'm not sure what triggered this, but he was a priest and a mystic priest back in the day when those things were real, but the church came in and decided that he was, you know, too close to God. You're not allowed to talk to God. You're not allowed to have that experience. And they would put him for like 18 hours a day in a cupboard where he couldn't stand up and he couldn't lay down. He couldn't move. 18 hours a day, month after month after month. And when he was in the cupboard, he had his enlightenment. And he couldn't wait to get in there. And he realized that the fear of suffering, fear, and he says it in here, he talks about it, in her very first night, right, when she learned about the dark night, they said, there's a huge difference between fear and pain, or fear and danger. I had that quote somewhere, but that's a really important thing to understand. You know, that the mystics had these amazing revelations when they stopped trying to resist the world as it was, when they were able to work through what we would say was an unbearable amount of pain, brought them to their highest level of humanity. So the dark night, what does it represent in this book? Talk about it all the way through, and this is both light and dark, right? They both believe in the dark night of the soul. What is it? What's your dark night? What is it?
My new boss.
Your new boss is your dark night. Yeah, that's not your dark night. Nice try. What's your dark night? What were they talking about? What?
It's your suffering.
Is that how they talked about in the book? Because it's really important to get to capture it.
That I do that keeps me from experiencing life. The
okay, we're getting closer. The dark night is every day you live. Your dark night is your life. Your dark night is when you realize that you have no idea why you do what you do. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no safety whatsoever other than to believe in God. Then you live the dark night every day, and you do it with compassion, you do it with courage, and you are willing to die for what you're being called to in that moment. As soon as you believe in anything other than my life is a... And you know... I was going to say, excuse me, but... my life, when your life is a fireworks like mine... It's really important to get that there that every moment of your life is a dark night until your ego gets a hold of it. And then you think you're safe. And that's when you're totally screwed. When you surrender to the reality that no one knows what's happening and that you have to do your best every day, live the four agreements. You have to be willing to wake up in the morning and know this day is going to call me somehow and I don't know how. This day may challenge everything I've ever known and I'm going to have to be willing to walk away from all my beliefs. And that's the dark night. The dark night for most of you is going to be the fact that when you have your dark night, which Carolyn Mace talks about, and a lot of these, you know, a lot of the spiritual leaders talk about, your dark night is that moment before you have enlightenment, and it's so important to have a dark night moment. And being in spiritual work, I have lots of people call me up and say, "I'm in my dark night. I think I ought to come to your school." And I'm like, "I think you better just go have some therapy." Your dark night, you will all have one. You'll all have one that will seem like your dark night. But it's because the ego needs something really special to be a dark night. Your life is a dark night. When you appreciate how hard it is just to wake up and be a human being on this planet, and how hard it is to have a purpose when you don't have any idea whether it's ever going to make a difference, but you have to trust, that's what the dark night's about. The dark night is about you never know, you have to have faith. And so St. John of the Cross was the model for this. His deep belief that in the darkest moments, your faith is when that's when it comes through. And this book talks about over and over and over again that every moment, every day, when you embrace every day like a mystery, as the dark night, that's when you bring light to it. Okay, what else? What else we got in the book? Sun. We'll go to the moon in a minute. Anybody else on the Anything on the sun? Okay. I must be my own teacher. And the sun. Nobody can teach you about the sun. It has to be revealed to you. Nobody can teach you how to feel in your energy field or to see through it. Each person is obliged to learn what he needs to learn, not just what he wants to learn. That's not going to be my message to the American people. Because there isn't a person you'll meet out there that doesn't want to learn what they want to learn. And all of you are going to have to challenge that in yourself. Why are you here? Are you here because you want to learn something, or are you here because you have to learn something? Because there's something you have to learn that you haven't actually dealt with yet. That's a really important distinction in spiritual journey. If you've figured out what you want, you're just going around in circles. It's very important to get that. Okay, God is in the Word, and they both said that, didn't they? So both the light and the dark. And what's the basic word in the sun? Prayer. Right? Prayer is the basic word. Anybody who can pray can follow the tradition of the sun. So those words, and they were saying that God creates everything all the time. But his favorite thing is the Word. Because right before you turned it into a vibration that's actually going to impact the world, it was just an energy. You turn energy into matter, energy into matter, energy into matter. Every time you speak, you're turning energy into matter. It's God's greatest gift. And remember they used the example of don't say the last time. Because you're creating that. You might create as the last time rather than the most recent time. So really being aware of what you say. How many of you, and I catch myself all the time, swearing and goddamning things. You know, just because that was how my, you know, it was how my family did it. It was like,
well, it's right in the Bible. In the beginning there was the light. And after the light there was the Word. And that first, you know, paragraph of Genesis.
Yeah. And the Word is the universe. The universe is one note. The universe, the sound. When God spoke, the universe came into being. We have this tiny little element of God, which is our creative force. This year, we're going to harness that creative force, and you're going to actually create something. Something real. Not something your brain cooked up that you might like later on and that's going to look good in your closet. It's going to be something real. It's going to be something that actually you are here on the planet to create. Something fantastic. Something that you're going to look back on and say, that was the beginning of how I learned how to actually live my life. That's what you're after. And you're after that in everything you do in your life. And that's how, and the word is a very powerful way. Okay, what else you got? The hand of God always guides those who follow their path. Yes. Yeah. So he's basically saying that trust, faith, you have to, you know, that whole the dark night. You can only get through the dark night with faith. You cannot bargain with the dark night. You cannot bargain with your day. You all try. You've all tried, and it's why you're here. It's why you're doing, it's why you all, we all feel, and I feel the same thing. It's like when I try to bargain with the universe, I always lose. You know, it's like doing right. So the surrendering and the faith and surrender are the same energy. I want to get on to the moon. So one of his quotes was, "God is the God of the brave. The brave are always those who make decisions despite their fear, who are tormented by the devil every step of the way and gripped by anxiety about every action, wondering if they're doing right or wrong, and yet nevertheless they act. They do so because they also believe in miracles." That's power. If you look at actually the way you're making your decisions every day, if you were present in your energy field, that would be your truth. The truth is you're terrified. The truth is you have no idea what you're doing. The truth is that you use your defense, which is unconscious action, unconscious knee-jerk reactions to life, to avoid the fact that you're terrified and that you still have to make actions, you're still here on the planet, and trusting that there's actually a purpose for you. And so that was a big theme in the book is you can never know. The architect of the universe was never going to share why they made the universe and you being part of it. Nobody's ever going to make you know that. But you have to trust that there is a reason. And the fact that you're given this consciousness gift of creation, which is what God gave you, clearly you're not supposed to be here wasting it. And so what is it? What is that thing? And so that's the deep knowing, this power of what he's talking about. Also, we talked about the flower. I heard Abby saying that too, right? That was... flowers are given as gift of love because they contain the meaning of love. Trying to possess a flower will find its beauty fading, but simply looking at a flower in a field and you will keep it forever. He also talked about no one possesses a sunset or the vision of your child sleeping. Nobody, that you can never possess that. You have to live it. You have to be part of it. It has to be part of the universe for you. Okay, it has to be so learning how to love that way. And so what was love in both of these? The soulmate was in both, wasn't it? Okay. They had to both find their soulmate. And you know, and for all of you, I want you to really think about the soulmate a lot. How have you treated yours? Chances are you found yours. How are you treating them? If you haven't found yours, are you willing to? What have you been willing to do to go find it? If you know you're not with your soulmate, what chakra is making you do that? What's happening in there? Many of you are already in relationship with your soulmate. Okay? If you could see, you'd probably see the sparkle in their eye. It's so funny that he says that. I had not read this book before I met Margaret. I only read this book a few years ago. And when I met her, she came over to the booth, and I'd done a talk. She came in. She said, "I'm having this stuff about expanding my business, and I don't even know what I'm doing." And when she sat down, I was just like, I'd never seen anybody with that much light in their eyes, in their head. It was just like this. It was like I'd never. It had never even. I'd never seen anybody like that. I mean, I see light in people. I see, you know, but it was like, it was so far beyond anything I'd ever seen. It was just like, there's something about this person. And like about 4 minutes later, I'm somehow stumbling over, you know, I'm not married anymore. Found out she was divorced, and it was like, wow. And the day before, my guide had, same guide that talked to me about this, had said, I'm going to give you one option, one chance. If you don't take that chance, if you don't act, I'm not going to help you again. And a couple weeks after I was talking with Margaret, she said, the only reason that I dated you was because you didn't hesitate. Because her guides were telling her the same thing. I don't want any milquetoast guy that's going to hesitate. So when you're being guided for something, you have to be willing to go for it. How many times have you talked yourself out of something that you knew was the real thing? The soulmate teaches you about love. It teaches you about surrender. Okay, it teaches you about the reality. The truth is that you probably have your soulmate, but you haven't. You've tried to think it through instead of surrendering to the fact that this person has so much for me. This person, what did they say about soulmates? How do they form? It's a cool idea. Never even, I'd never seen this, heard of this before. Yeah. So the souls, the multiplying of the souls in the planet are that each soul in each incarnation splits. The masculine and the feminine split. And then they come throughout the world and you find those pieces of yourself. And whenever you find that, you remember this deeper part of you. So you can pull back this knowledge of the wisdom of the ages. So these souls are going through generation, 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 generation. And then you find each other. And now all of that knowledge of all of those lifetimes come together in your relationship. And they're essential because that was the mission of that soul to do that, to live that feminine life and live the masculine life and then re-come into union. So we might as well go to the moon. And number one thing in the moon is pleasure. Right? The witch's path is pleasure. So sex is number one. Sex is the number one element of the moon. It's the most powerful element. It's that sensual feminine energy, the goddess.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. That's the path. The path to wisdom for the witch is always pleasure. They're drawn to pleasure, the pleasure of the world, the pleasure of the deep states. And what's the moon? The moon are what are they called? Rituals. The sun, no ritual, just life. Called to life. The rituals. How many of you pull a tarot card every day? Okay. This year, lay them out. Every day, start allowing those voices. Remember, the voices are the next thing, right? The most important part was, do you hear the voices of the ancients? My guide. That's what it is. I got it, my guides, but my primary guide is the voice of the ancients. I get to bring information in from my past incarnations dealing with this character. And working with that, so now in this lifetime, I can bring in more and more and more of that. So you have to feel, you have to do these rituals to do past life work, to meditate, to go into the shaman journey. I mean, she did a number of journeys in this and realizations. What else about the moon?
She talked about wearing all your clothes, all your stuff to be in motion at all times.
Perfect. Knowledgeable Tiver picks that right up. Good. Good. Awesome. Yeah, no, it's but that's awesome. Yes. Things, stagnant energy in your home, that she talks about clothing. If you're not wearing it, get rid of it. Don't have anything that you don't wear that isn't you. More importantly, it's like, do your clothes represent what's really in you, your soul, or are they things you have because you're supposed to have them?
Useful and beautiful are beautiful and useful. It's got to be one or the other.
Right. Well, you guys can all...
How do you need a thing to represent your emotion? You just, it's like the
Yeah. And so, yes. What else? Intuition. Soulmate. We're not going to solve this one. What's your soulmate question? We'll give you one.
No.
In the book, it said there can be multiples, but then it's really gonna suck. But every person, remember, he said it in here. And I totally agree. Every person in every lifetime has to interact with their soulmate at least once. You are destined to meet a soulmate at least once. And whether you take to it, whether you do something about it, or whether you walk by, the when you're conscious, like he met his soulmate, right? He didn't get her. But what he said was that meeting your soulmate once and understanding that that person's your soulmate makes you realize, makes all the rest of your life make sense. What did he?
Well, he said that once he met her, he could go ahead and love. He understood what love is, he felt the completion of that love, and he could take that love into whatever relationship he ended up with and hurt him.
So he says this, after he realizes that she had met two soulmates. Remember? The physicist was her soulmate too. So much that he went up to her at the hymn. He had shifted his view, so all he was seeing was auras, and he sees the point of light, and he goes over and says, Brida, and then he shifts back, and the guy turns around. So he knows that that's his soulmate too. There were three soulmates, but he had already done the discipline of living on his own. That had been his guide, and so what he said was, "You were my hope during my days of loneliness, my anxiety during moments of doubt, and my clarity during moments of faith." So knowing your soulmate exists makes you a powerful person. And that's the one thing you are supposed to be finding on this planet.
Her mother did that and described it.
Right.
I've never fallen out of love with your father. I will never meet your father. I adore your father. I'm staying with your father. And I had a perfect love one afternoon with this archaeologist.
Right. So it can be the affair that was your soulmate, but you choose to come back. But if you experience your soulmate in truth, your life should then be whole.
And that's what she said. Her mother said, and that allowed me to realize as a woman, as a 38-year-old woman, that I had dreams and I had desires and I had basically places to go and people to see. I had a reason for being here, and I got re-anchored in myself from that one afternoon.
I mean, so you can see how cool this book is. I mean, look at all the stuff in this book. It's like, this is your life. This is like the greatest thing. What? Yes. Yep. Yeah, soulmate. I mean, a lot of movies talk about soulmates. A lot of movies show that. And the surrender to the soulmate is amazing. Yeah.
I just wonder, though, like, to me it's kind of depressing. The mother meets her soulmate, she goes and she's with the father. I mean, yeah,
I agree with you.
I
agree with you.
You know?
Right, but only the ego will find it depressing. Okay? Because the ego is always, no matter, you can be with, if the ego is going to be with your soulmate going, I wonder if he's the guy. Shit. I mean, seems like the guy. I don't know. Seems like, I don't know. Seems like the, I don't know. That's what you've been doing the whole time. Instead of going, I dive in, the fearless part of the Dark Knight is you cannot hesitate. You go, you dive, you go, you dive. And what did they say? What did she say was the basic... Yeah, no, darling. I totally. I am not sure. I'm not sure that your second chakra was hunting for a soulmate. See, when you start hunting the earth from your soul, you cannot be wounded. No, darling. You wouldn't have been wounded had you come from your soul. You were wounded because you came from your ego. The ego's the only thing that ever gets wounded. Your soul would have loved every bit of it. and then walked away and said, wow, that was amazing. Where's the next one? The ego says, I'm diminished by this. Right. And the amount of charge that's in you right now doing that. This is a huge issue, and this is the thing for you to work through. This is this year's work through. And somebody else in the other room had said something about a soulmate too, finding a soulmate. But that's it's recognizing that you got to know your soul before you can recognize a soulmate. You have to see your light. You have to see your star. You have to understand that at a really deep level. The problem is that the ego looks for a soulmate to complete you. The soul looks for a soulmate for the exact same reason, but it never loses anything in the process of trying and kissing a lot of frogs. Okay? Very different energy, very different power, level of power. Yeah. That's okay. Who says that? That's black magic right there. That's the power. That's the power of the word. You know what? When Margaret gets home, I'm gonna look her up and down. You know, I heard we're not supposed to marry our soulmate. No. You know. You are in charge. No, I mean, the ultimate would be to marry your soulmate. You know, what the difference is that what Carolyn Mace calls a soulmate, she calls a noble friend. A soulmate, most of the soulmates you've ever had are fragments of you that come into your life to kick your ass. Okay, that's not the kind of soulmate we're talking about here. We're talking about literally when you're with this person, you experience yourself. This deepest nature within you. And remember, the sex part of the soulmate relationship was that you go into sex completely from all five senses, eyes open, fully aware, no unconscious behavior, no projecting, fully conscious. And then at the moment of orgasm, you can experience what it's like to surrender and literally leave all five senses and come into the union with the universe. But until you're able to do that, and if you're with someone that you aren't sure, I don't know if you're my soulmate, I don't know about this, you're not having that. You can't be anywhere but in your head. You can't be in your five senses fully. So that shift, fully in the five senses to fully in the universe, is the gateway. Remember, the magic is what? What did they say? Magic is the bridge to the spirit world. And your soulmate and sex are two of those bridges. And so, but what they're saying when they're talking about the five senses, they're saying, if you're not present, you can't make the journey. You can't make the choice. You can't live that dark night with power. You're always trying to hide. You're always trying to play small. You're trying to, you know, not, you know, this isn't my fault. I don't have to deal with this. All right. We're not going to get very far on the balls. I'll just do one ball at the end. Right. And every person that you meet along, every frog you kiss along the way was an essential awareness, essential, you know, your commitment. How the key for you to look at in your life is how much have you committed so far? And what levels? In relationship, in your job, in what you're sharing with yourself, what level of commitment do you have? This whole thing, this whole concept of the soulmate, of this surrender to God, you're God. You're it. Do you surrender to what's coming up out of you? Do you surrender to what you're actually being called to? Or do you just have these patterns of behavior we call defense that just keep marching out in the world and saying, yeah, I'm trying the best I can, but it always kicks my ass. I can't do it. I can't. Rather than saying, I'm called. I am called every day to my life. I'm fearlessly willing to do this. And relationship is huge. It's like that. And if you've got one, any of you that have already got, have caught your fish, okay? And that's why I'm a fisherman. I love fishing. But once you catch it, you know, how much are you appreciating it? How much are you really bringing all you've got? Because one of the things we're going to talk about with the goal is that you can't know if it's a goal or not until you've totally committed to it. And you can't know if it's yours and is actually feeding you until you've committed to it. But we all stay out of the, a little bit. It's always like, yeah, I'll kind of do this. I'll almost be in there. I'll put in about 50, 60% of me. But then I'm safe. But that's the most unsafe thing you can ever do. Because you'll never know. At the end of that, you still don't know. Now you've spent 10 years and you still don't know. You still can't make a decision. I don't know, huh? Because you were never in. 5 minutes fully in with that person, you'd be like, I'm so out of here. Or, this is it. This is it. I didn't know because I hadn't ever committed far enough to find out if this was really it because it was just a second chakra or a first chakra convenience. Or you like the way they look, or they got great hair, or they got whatever it is. Yeah. Silly stuff that we get attached to. Chris, you had a question or something? Okay, last one. When you find your path, you must have sufficient courage to make mistakes. Disappointment, defeat, and despair are the tools God uses to show us the way. The path of wisdom means not being afraid to make mistakes. So I think that sums up what we were just talking about. When you really surrender, you get up in the morning and you go. And you know that you are a go machine. You are here to do what you're called to do. Nobody else will agree with it. Nobody else will understand it. And there might be one or two or three people you meet in your entire lifetime that can get you it all. Those are your soulmates. Yeah.
What page is that?
I have no idea.
I love the quote when she said that even a broken clock is right twice a day.
It's right twice a day, right. Yep. Okay. So sit where you are. I'm going to get a couple bowls, and we're going to do one more sharing. I'll play a bowl. I want you to really go deep in this bowl. I want you to feel your power, and I want you to share your power with the person next to you, okay?
Did you put out the pages that you read this morning to us when we first started out?
That was all...